The nice thing about it is they pay for me to take them to Thailand for 3 weeks. And I can't really complain about that. So in the program costs, I've been increasing the program costs because costs of travel and food in Thailand has increased. And so it's $2,700. I have them pay for a three-credit class. It's a special topics class. I was thinking I would do a study abroad formal class, and I never really have, but it's a special topics class. And it is a class not just for horticulture students. I usually get the gamut. Like, I get art students, I get photography. About maybe half the students are in the College of Agriculture. They go with me. It's a small group. I have a limit based on, we travel a lot by van, and so I like actually 6 students. This time I had 10, so I had two vans and travel. You're missing a lot of this. So I have a picture here that you can't see of Thailand, and we actually visit three or four different areas to the southeast, or actually to the east. We visit a lot of the horticulture production areas, tropical fruits, pararubber, so tropical fruits, durian, pineapple, mangosteen, mango. Of course, the students are all encouraged to try durian, which is actually one of, I actually like durian, but, and then we travel in the central part of the country. The university has a second campus called Kampang San, and we visit an orchid export operation, spend a day there. Thailand is like the leading export of orchids in the world. So very interesting, looking at tissue culture, production, packing, shipping. We also go to the west, and you're not going to see any pictures, but we go visit a number of different sites, one of which we visit the Salak Prah Elephant Reserve, and we learn about elephant culture, the importance of elephants in Thai culture and agroforestry. And then there's this reserve that was set up, and then the issues with farmers on the outskirts and elephants basically raiding the farmer fields for different crops. And we spend a day there. Have a lot of fun going in just to see the elephants, and we go to signs of an elephant. This is the first year we actually saw a lone male elephant as we were going in. So we take trucks in, go through four streams and up into this area. So one of my main focuses is with the Royal Projects. Has anybody ever been to the Royal Projects in Thailand? Like, so we visit a number of those. And so the Royal Project Foundation is the umbrella for this. The former king of Thailand set these up in 1969. And basically, it was a focus of improving the quality of life of the hill tribes in northern Thailand, but also to eliminate the growing of opium in that area. And there are currently like 35 development centers in the north, and then there's four research centers. So we visit the Doi An Khang Research Center. We stay there for a few days. There they have a lot of fruit production. They have breeding programs. We learn all about fruit production, post-harvest. They also market products there. There's cut flowers, roses, there's organic and conventional vegetables, and we also do a hill tribe village site visit there. And then we also visit another royal development project at Din Tok, where they do coffee, mushroom, and tea. And we visit the Doi Bui Research Station. So Kasetsart University has their own research site there, and the students got to interact with faculty there. There was a demonstration of embryo culture, tissue culture, and runner production, and they had some hands-on activities. We also visit another site in the east, Khao Hin Son Royal Development Study Center, where we learn about the king's vision of the sufficiency economy. Hey, we're right back here. So you missed all those pictures, but integrated farming, very interesting place. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, what? So frogs, vegetables. And then we also do visits to different national forests. So this is a picture of Bonne Bretagne on the coast. So this is a coastal restoration area. This actually is a national forest that there were issues of shrimp farming going into that area, serious destruction. And so we visit there. We spend a day. We have done a homestay there. So on the top right, you can see students planting the mangrove pods. So the villagers in this area have basically have the right to protect the national forest, and they are getting, they glean their certain products from that. And that's a really neat visit. So I usually have one or two that are into coastal studies, and I think it's good for even the Hort students to learn about development and projects. And this is the site I mentioned, is Salak Prah in the west. Ganjanaburi is known for the Death Railway during World War II, so it's west of Bangkok. So this is an example of having a lecture. The Forest Service there, the rangers give us a lecture on the wildlife sanctuary, some of the issues, some of the projects that they have here. And there is a picture of us traveling into the area, the students. It's quite an exciting visit. And this is up at the ranger station this past June. You can see visiting, seeing the sites that they've prepared and natural sites for elephants, elephant tracks. And then you can't really see, but there's actually an elephant hidden in the brush there eating as we were going up into the site. So, and one of the things that I did this year, I've always wanted to do this. So, and we in the past we used to ride elephants. That's one of the things that there's a new thought of not doing that. And so we visited for a day and played with elephants. And this is up in the northern part of the country. And I've ridden elephants before. I've been in contact with elephants, but to have that experience and to have elephants just walking around you and these massive creatures, quite an experience. Little fun with water and mud with the elephants, feeding them, learning also a demonstration of creating food, what food, making these little balls. And as part of this, we also do a lot of hands-on activities. You know, Thailand is a rice country, rice-growing part of their culture, part of their leading exporter of rice. So planting rice, a lot of the students have never, Louisiana is a rice-growing state too, but a lot of them have never really done that. And so there's that. This is in the northern part. This is up in Chiang Mai. So there's some Kasetsart University students there, and actually taking strawberry runners and planting them for later use. Had students doing that. And then twice during our time, we had students preparing their own lunch. So we actually went out into this. It was at Sompron Riverside, where they have an organic garden, organic production area. The students harvested the vegetables, and then they prepared lunch. And then they're also learning how to make Thai sweets. Some of the other activities we visited in Dinh Tok Royal Development Center. So they have the tea, and so making tea pillows. And I was quite curious. This is the first time I did this activity. I asked the students after they made these little tea pillows who they're going to give them to, and three of them said they're going to give them to their grandmother. One said to her mother, and I was like, I just, I usually just buy the pillows myself and give them away. It's kind of like an herbal remedy for people. And on the bottom, there is a picture. This is up in Chiang Mai at Doyon Kong. The students planting flowers at the project there. So we try to have as many experiences like that for them. And I wanted just to talk about briefly international social experiences, and how do you get experience, how do you make connections. I wanted to mention the farmer-to-farmer program. I've done farmer-to-farmer in Central America. It's a great opportunity, short-term. It's a good way to make connections, reaching out to different groups. And you can see the different agencies that actually deal with this throughout the world. So Partners for the Americas is who I actually traveled with. Our partner country is El Salvador. And as we mentioned, the Fulbright program, International 4-H, perhaps USAID, other opportunities. So I think it's good to think about, you know, how can we build our literacy in international development and cultures, and then impart that to our students. So with that, I'm finished.
Okay, for the next 15 or 20 minutes, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get all of our speakers to come up and take a chair, and we'll have a little bit of a panel discussion. I'll start off by asking questions, but then we'll make sure that you get some questions to ask and to be answered as well. So if you kind of think back to it, Anne-Marie told us about high-impact practices and that study abroad experiences are those kind of high-impact practices that really affect students as well as affect your institution. Brian kind of told us to how to match content with context and also to embrace the unexpected. Carolyn told us really about embracing the unexpected by being well-prepared and thinking through not only the horticultural components but all of the logistical components of a trip. And then Carl shared some very interesting personal experiences about providing those hands-on kinds of experiences. So I want to ask a couple questions to kind of get us started. Anne-Marie, in your very first slide, you showed that of all the high-impact practices, study abroad was one of the lower ones. When I look at what's happening in study abroad across the United States in the last 10 years, there's been an explosion of these particularly short-term faculty-led programs. And what I've seen in my own institution is a lot of the faculty, my colleagues, they get so excited about taking students abroad that they forget about content and context. And what they really have done is organized what I'll call a selfie or a T-shirt tour. They go to site, they take a picture, they get the T-shirt, buy the souvenir, and then they leave. And at the very end of that, students said, "Man, I had a great time. I didn't understand anything about my discipline. I didn't understand anything about the culture." Do you think that might be one of the reasons, or what are some of your experiences, one of the reasons that high-impact practice for study abroad was low, as we weren't doing things that Brian, Carolyn, and Carl talked about?